Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean, good morning. Your review of the Joker Friday, I think, was dead on. I heard from a number of people over the weekend who saw it, hated it. Some walked out, and it didn't do well at the box office either, did it?
You didn't go yourself. You had, you had the chance to go sit through a musical, and you didn't? Can't believe that.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe they should have kept the movie and released the producer. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they should have done. But the movie made $40 million. It's the number one movie of the weekend, but they were expecting close to $100 million. It was a huge disappointment for the studios. Some are calling it a bomb already, and how it sustains itself after this is anyone's guess. But it is less than half of what the first Joker movie made in its opening weekend, yet the sequel cost three times as much to make. So the people who put up the money for all this, not very happy. The director of the movie, Todd Phillips, is one of the people that I talked to when I went to L.A. a couple of weeks ago and sat down and talked with the cast. And one of the things that we talked about were expectations for a movie, a sequel coming after a film that was phenomenally successful, the original Joker movie that made all kinds of money and won all kinds of awards, and how difficult it is to, try to come in and top that.
How daunting is it when you're coming off of such a successful original film to come up with things that are different and original and groundbreaking in a sequel?
Well, that's not necessarily the daunting part. The daunting part is the idea of how do you follow up such a big success. It really became a big... The first film, none of us expected to do what it did, and I don't even mean the box office or awards. I meant just the general, culture, experiencing this movie. So that's the daunting part, is how do you follow that up, and do you follow that up, and do you even try? It's nice to have made the first movie basically under the radar, and then you try to make a second movie and you're under a microscope. Everyone's looking at every movie you're making. So it was really, that has its own challenges, but you just kind of put your head down and try to avoid the noise and do it.
Yeah, so, I gave it a C-. I'm telling people, go ahead and see it and make up your own mind. And I've had most of the people that got back to me over the weekend said, saw the movie and completely agree with you. Way too much music, not enough mayhem. It is what it is. It's in theaters right now. The rest of the weekend box office, maybe one of the best movies of the entire year, The Wild Robot, an animated film with Lupita Nyong'o in the lead, is sweet and charming and beautifully made. It came in number two for the weekend with $18 million. Beetlejuice in third place, followed by Transformers 1 and Speak No Evil, the number five movie.
What's this about the actor Keanu Reeves becoming a race car driver?
Yeah, why not? He's done everything else. He wanted to see what it was like to be behind the wheel in a professional race. He went to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And he's 60 years old now, and he made his professional auto racing debut in the Toyota GR Cup, which is an amateur-focused racing series. Still, these cars, they get up 150 miles an hour on the oval. And he got out there and pretty quickly spun into the grass. About halfway through, he got back on the track without any incident, without any injury. He wound up finishing 25 in out of 32 racers. So not a great finish, but, it's got to be exhilarating. I know probably a lot of you have done this Richard Petty experience that they have at Disney, where you can actually get behind the wheel of a race car with a driver, you know, with somebody to assist you. And you can get way up there. We did a story several years ago on that, and they actually let me behind the wheel, you know, like strap me in like I was going to the moon. And, you get out there in a professional race car, and you're driving kind of, you know, tentatively at first. But once you sort of get the hang of it after a lap or so, I put the pedal to the metal, and I got up to like around 150 miles an hour. Maybe one of the most exhilarating things I've ever done in my life. It's pretty cool. So I guess I can understand why Keanu wanted to give that a try. Plus, I just love the idea that Keanu and I have done the same thing.
Yeah, put that on your resume.
All right.
Maybe Disney will do the Kennedy Expressway experience
next.
That
might be too dangerous.
Yeah,
I don't know.
For sure. Talking entertainment with Dean Richards, this was sad about Madonna's younger brother, wasn't it?
Yeah. He has been, you know, very much a part of her career since she broke through. What, 40 years ago, when she was growing up just outside of Detroit, Christopher Ciccone was right by her side. He was a dancer, and as, her career grew, she brought him along with. He appeared in several of her music videos, you know, those groundbreaking videos from back in the day, but he was an art director. He was a production designer, worked on her tours in the 90s. Last night, Madonna wrote of her late brother, "I'm glad he's not suffering anymore. There will never be anyone like him. I know he is dancing somewhere." Christopher Ciccone had been battling cancer for quite a while now. He died this past Friday and was only 63 years old.
We're hearing more from Jussie Smollett. Now what, Dean?
Well, he has always said that he's innocent and that he didn't do anything wrong, and he's going on an interview tour again, speaking out, claiming his innocence, saying that he did nothing wrong with regard to this 2019 attack that he alleged happened against him here in Chicago, that he claimed was racist and homophobically generated. He did an interview with Entertainment Tonight and maintains his innocence. He says he's fighting for the truth of what came out that night. And in fact, he has spent $3 million, he says, of his own money, because he does not want to be convicted of something that he says he did not do. So, you know, $3 million worth. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. A story that never seems to end. All right. Now, Dean, you're going to explain why.
That was very polite of you, by the way.
You're going to explain why Saturday Night Live did a George Washington sketch.
Well, the host this past weekend was comedian Nate Bargatze, who I think is great. His stand-up comedy is fantastic. But when he hosted the show once before, he was great. And I think he did a really great job in hosting the opening monologue, the sketches he was in. But now he has done this George Washington piece. Now, both times that he has hosted the show, George Washington's Unexpected Dreams for America. And it's we've edited it down a little bit because it goes about 8 minutes. But it's George Washington with his men crossing the Delaware, and he is just talking to them about things that why they are fighting, for the creation of America, the things that he thinks are important. George Washington's Unexpected Dreams.
We will live through the battle ahead because we fight to control our own destiny.
Yeah.
To create our own nation.
Well said, General.
And to do our own thing with the English language.
Our things, sir?
Yes. I dream that one day our great nation will have a word for the number 12. We shall call it a dozen.
And what other numbers will we have a word for?
None. And this is why we fight, men, to extend these liberties to all Americans.
Including men of color like myself?
We will also have... The children will not have to go to school every day. We will have our own holidays, 4th of July, Flag Day, and President's Day.
And what shall we do to honor our leaders on President's Day, sir?
Buy a mattress, of course. These are my dreams for our nation, men. We fight this war to free the English language and free the American people. All the American people.
Sir, do you mean the slaves will be freed after this war?
After a war.
A war? But it's this war, right? It's this war, right?
Really funny. I like buy a mattress.
This was one of the highlights. But there's like five more minutes of those kind of observations that he has that are just like silly and they're really funny. I think that's like part and parcel of Nate Bargatze's comedy. It's not dirty. It's not offensive. It's just clever and silly, and it makes you laugh in this. This Washington's dream thing now that he has started when he appears on the show is it's a pretty good, solid sketch that they're doing now. So it's one of the highlights from this past Saturday night.
And that was Andy Samberg doing Vice President Harris's husband, Doug, right?
Right.
I mean, he's unbelievable. We saw a little movie over the weekend called Lee, Kate Winslet portraying this Life magazine photographer. And Andy Samberg has like a serious part in there. He plays a Life magazine photographer during World War II, and he's excellent in a serious role.
He's a really good actor. He's a really good comedic actor, not just Brooklyn Nine-Nine, just silly stuff that he did on SNL. He's a really good serious actor. And I'll tell you who else is a really good serious actor who is also part of SNL on Saturday night is Jim Gaffigan, who from comedy, and he portrayed the vice presidential candidate Tim Walz in this. But you check out some of the films that Jim has been in. He is also an outstanding actor. When he gets away from Hot Pockets and all the things that he's talked about over the years, some of these comedians, turns out, can hold their own in dramatic parts.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy. Thank you, Dean.
All right,
more tomorrow. See you at the mattress sale.